Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you enjoyed Pastor Lutz and his program just before us. He was going out, and he said he had mentioned to stay tuned for our program, and he told me I owed him $50, so I figure that since I'm advertising his now too, that cancels out. But no, he had a good program today, good topic today, and he's got a good program overall. So I encourage you to listen to that. If you can tune in at 1 o'clock and hear him, then of course we're on at 1:30, and then Pastor Andy Rusnacko from the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, will be coming on at 2 o'clock. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that as well. And well, I want to mention a couple of things, and then we're going to touch on some stuff here today. But as always, you can find us livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and I encourage you to check us out there on the webpage. And in addition to that, we also have a Facebook page. You can go on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al, as well, and you can just find us there. I try to put a number of things up there from time to time. In fact, right now I've got a thing on there on America's labor market getting better by almost any measure. That's good news, and that's good for churches because that means more people working, more people able to participate and give and tithe in the local church so that the church can support more missionaries and do more work for the Lord. So that's a good thing. And then there's another article on a John Hopkins psychiatrist that said that transgendered men don't become women. They become feminized men and impersonators. And that is a great article there. So that's the kind of things you put on there from time to time, stuff dealing with the political scene, stuff dealing with what's happening, stuff dealing with science. There's a couple of them I might touch on here in a minute. But before I get into all of that, I just want to remind you, of course, that I am Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us there. If you don't have a church to go to, you're looking for a church, perhaps maybe you go to a church and they don't read from the Bible in their church, or they don't follow the Bible, and or maybe you've got questions and nobody allows you to ask questions. Well, let me recommend our church. We encourage people to ask questions. In fact, that's why we have this program. And we're on every Friday afternoon, 1:30 until 1 o'clock. We're also on every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And we have a Bible study tonight. We'll have this information at the end of the broadcast. But we have a Bible study tonight from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's in Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. And I'd like to invite you to come out for that. And we just have an informal Bible study where people ask the questions. I don't come there and say, here's the topic for tonight. No, we just do whatever questions and topics people have when we are there is what we look at. We have refreshments and things, and it's just a nice informal time. Gives me a chance to know what people are wondering about and have questions about and trying to figure out too as well. So I enjoy that quite well. And then this Sunday, we're having a special event at our church. Pi Day, International Pi Day, is March 14th. Now, if you are thinking already, the date, March 14th, the month is 3, and then it's the 14th day, you could express that as 3.14, which is the value of pi, which is important in terms of determining such things as the circumference, circle, and all that. You know, pi equals, I'll get off topic there. Get back on the Pi Day here, but thinking about Pi Day, we started this a couple of years ago when Pi Day fell on our Friday night Bible study in 2015, which gave us the number 3.1415, which was value of pi there. And so we just started doing this, and we're having a Sloppy Joe and Pi Fellowship following our morning service this coming Sunday. And that's after our morning service, our 11 o'clock service Sunday morning. And then following the service about 12:30, we're going to have a Sloppy Joe and Pi Fellowship in support of or recognition of Pi Day. Actually, it's not so much, I have to be honest, recognition of Pi Day. It's just that we like pie, and it's a good excuse to have pie after church. So, but if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. And you can find that out on our website as well, or on our Facebook page, livewithpastoral.com. Got a picture of a cartoon of Einstein holding Albert Einstein holding a pie. And so you can find that. But any rate, you can give us a call as well with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. 888-677-9673 is our number, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air. Wanted to mention, too, if you know somebody who's looking for work and they're over in the Garfield Heights area and they have their own car, they can contact East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights, located 4889 Turney Road. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And talk to Gus. He's in need of delivery drivers there at East Coast Pizza. And even if you're not looking to work and you're looking for a great pizza, stop in there and enjoy. I had some of their pizza just yesterday. Fantastic pizza. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. All right. Well, we have got a caller calling in this afternoon, and we're going to jump right to our calls. And Tim, welcome to the program today.
How do you do, Pastor? I got a question on salvation. There's so
yes,
many
sir.
Different denominations that are like Arminians. Are they really saved? Because does that mean they lack faith?
Well, and for those that aren't familiar with the term Arminian, Arminians generally believe that you can lose your salvation, and that's the sort of the opposite end of the spectrum of those that we call Calvinists that believe that you have no choice in whether or not you get saved. And there's a lot of Calvinists, there's a lot of Arminians, I believe, are genuinely born again, because when they hear, you know, the gospel message, they're not thinking in terms of the Arminian doctrine, you know, that you can lose your salvation when they first hear it. And when they get saved, somebody comes along and then teaches them that they can lose their salvation. Let me give you an example. I had a guy I was talking to one time, and he went to a church, and they gave a strong gospel message. He came under conviction, and he said, you know, he gave me a good testimony of salvation. He said the one of the deacons or assistant pastor or somebody came up to him and dealt with him after the service, and they led him to, you know, to put his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he asked the Lord, you know, confessed his sin, and he believed in his heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for his sin. And you know, he turned from his sin, turned to Christ and accepted him as his Savior. He put his faith in him, and I believe he was born again. And when he got up, you know, he said that they went to the pastor, and the pastor said, "Well, you're not really saved. You haven't been baptized yet." Do you see what I'm saying? They taught him something false afterwards. And I think that's what happens with a lot of Arminians, is they come under conviction, you know, they hear the word of God, and it works in their heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And they come under conviction, and they do trust Christ as their Savior. They do put their faith in Christ. They do believe, and they do turn from their sin, all these things, and they're genuinely born again, and then they go up to somebody, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, one of the deacons or somebody, and then they say, well, you know, you may have prayed that prayer, but now it's up to you to keep yourself saved, because if you turn away, if you do this, if you do that, you can lose your salvation. And so they give them what they believe compelling reason to believe that, and they wind up, you know, believing a false doctrine, just like that guy that, you know, that pastor told him, well, he wasn't really saved because he hadn't been baptized yet. And although the guy was saved, I talked with him, I believe the guy was saved. He just hadn't been baptized. So the false doctrine comes in after salvation, in terms of the Arminian and being saved, did you have something else other than that which you were looking at?
I believe I worded it wrong.
Okay.
Most of it. You had a call last week of a guy trying to horn in on your radio time from another show.
Oh yeah.
Someone called his show and asked him if he believed in eternal salvation, and he says, "Oh no," he says, "work out your salvation in fear and trembling." Well, I know he took that wrong.
Yeah, yeah, and a quick explanation of that passage right there. I would look back to my one of my math teachers. You know, when I was in junior high school, we were doing algebra problems.
Or while I'm gone is all Paul was telling him, wasn't he? Practice your faith while I'm gone.
Exactly, exactly. And it's just like, you know, you would have a word problem and you knew the answer, but they wanted you to work it out. If you remember that from school, you know, work the problem out. Show us how it works out. And they did that because they wanted you to understand the answer, and understand how things work together to come to that answer. And I believe that's what God was saying there. Just like you said, you need to work it out in your life. You have it now. Now, you know, apply it in your life, study it, try to, you know, learn what you now have and how to use it and how to bring glory to God through it and all that. But in terms of this rejection of eternal security, you know, well, let me just give you in John chapter 10. This is the best way I know to refute that.
Right.
Yeah, John chapter 10, Jesus is plainly speaking here, okay? And Jesus begins speaking in verse 25. He's talking with the Jews, and he says in verse 25, "I told you, and you believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me." They were questioning whether or not he was the Christ, the Messiah. And then he said this, "But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, if you can lose your salvation, there's a number of things that Jesus either, you would have to say either Jesus was ignorant about or Jesus outright lied about. Because he said here in John 10, verse 28, that he gives them eternal life. So, when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we get eternal life, or John 3:16, everlasting life, you know. Well, what's the definition of eternal? It doesn't end. You know, what they're teaching is that you got the potential for eternal life. You didn't actually get eternal life. You got the potential for it. So either Jesus was lying, or he was ignorant of it himself, or he was telling the truth. I prefer to believe he was telling the truth. We got eternal life, which
is enough for some people.
Yeah, well, here's the next statement. "And they shall never perish." Now, I know the words "never perish" can be somewhat ambiguous, so if you look it up in the Greek and you study it out, you know what it means? It means never perish. That's pretty ambiguous, isn't it? No, I obviously I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek there. Never perish is a very definitive term. It's not potentially never perish, or might never perish, or could never perish, or possibly never perish. It's "they shall never perish." Well, again, if you receive salvation, and Jesus, who knows the future because he's God, knows that 10 years from now you're going to lose your salvation, then he knows that you're going to perish. But that's not what he said here. So either Jesus has to be ignorant or a liar, or he's telling the truth. They shall never perish. And then it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I heard a guy that believed that you could lose your salvation one time saying to somebody, well, yeah, you can't accidentally, you have to make a decision where you yourself have to renounce your salvation. Well, wait a minute. I'm just a man. And Jesus himself said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So I'm in his hand. He's not in my hand. I'm in his hand. And so again, either Jesus was ignorant, or he was lying, or he was telling the truth. And then...
Even those guys that say that there's no Trinity, that's still two sets of hands then.
Yeah. Well, and again, Trinity's another good subject, but going into verse 29 here, Jesus says this, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. Well, greater than all what? Greater than all anybody, everybody. He's greater than the world. He's greater than the universe. He created the universe. And he said, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, I'd have to be greater than God to pluck myself out of the Father's hand. And then, of course, he answers the Jews' question about his divinity and his messiahship, where he says in verse 30, I and my Father are one. So if I could lose my salvation, Jesus, God, is either lying or ignorant in this passage several times, or he's telling the truth, and you can't lose your salvation. You have exactly what he said, eternal life, you'll never perish, and nobody, including yourself, can pluck you out of his hand or the Father's hand. And, you know, I just look at that, and how much clearer can that be? Yeah, somebody told me a long time ago, you don't use the unclear passages to reinterpret the clear passages. We use something that's clear like this to interpret the difficult passages, and I know there's other passages that they use that make it sound like you can lose your salvation, but, you know, it's yeah, exactly, and let's go back to John chapter 3. I referred to it briefly, but Jesus speaking in John chapter 3, starting in verse 14, says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, I mean, that's pretty clear. Again, if you could lose your salvation, then you would perish, and you really didn't get eternal life. It was only the potential. But that's not what he said. And then verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, he said it again, only he used everlasting instead of eternal. And it's the same thing. It'll always last. It's eternal. It's without end. It's everlasting. It'll always last. And you'll never perish. We go down, let's see, a little bit further here. And let me see here. Oh, there's another one here I might want to look at. But, in verse 36, where it says, he that believeth on the Son hath what? The potential for everlasting life? No, everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And it's very clear there that it's everlasting life, not the potential for everlasting life. There's a passage in Hebrews that gives a lot of people trouble, and I have to admit, as a younger Christian, and even when I first started studying the Bible more, I had some difficulty over this. But reading it, it begins to make sense when you look at Hebrews chapter 6, and this is a passage that they use a lot. They try to use this passage to teach that you can lose your salvation, where it says in verse number 4, For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And so they're saying, see, you can lose your salvation. Now, first off,
it's impossible.
Right. Because let me look at it this way. Let's say that they're correct, and this is referring to losing your salvation. Now, I had a friend when I was in the Air Force. He went to a Nazarene church, and he believed that you could lose your salvation. And I used to ask him, well, how do you lose your salvation? He said, well, if you sin enough, you'll lose your salvation. I always thought, well, just one sin should do it, because one sin makes you a sinner. I don't have to kill a dozen people to be a murderer. I just have to kill one person, and I'm a murderer. You know, but one sin makes me a sinner, and sinners can't go into heaven. So he said, well, it's not just one sin. You have to do a sufficient number. It was never very clear. But I asked him this. I said, well, okay, if you lose your salvation, and this passage means you can lose your salvation, then you can never get saved again. Because isn't that what it would say? It's impossible for them to renew them again unto repentance. So if you're going to use this passage to say you can lose your salvation, you can't get saved again if you lost your salvation. And yet I've heard people, and you've probably heard people too, even on this station, say, well, I lost my salvation once and I had to get saved again. And yet they believe this passage means that you can lose your salvation. But this passage is not talking... I'm sorry?
That's what they think backsliding is. They think they lost it. Found it again.
Yeah, you're not losing your salvation. The clouds come between us and the sun. The sun doesn't stop shining. It's just that you lose the warmth of the cloud because there's something interfering between us. So you lose the warmth from the sun because of the cloud. But here, this passage in Hebrews chapter 6 is talking about somebody who God has moved on their heart. And see, the problem with the Arminian is they elevate human free will, which I believe in. I believe it's up to you to choose whether or not to be saved. But they elevate it so high that you can override God's promise to give you eternal life by choosing through your sin or whatever to lose your salvation. But this passage here is talking about somebody who's enlightened. God opens their eyes. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one, and none that seeketh after God, the Bible says. And so the unsaved person, this is where the Calvinist struggles too, because I think both of them are wrong. I think the correct position is a biblical position. If you imagine a triangle with the biblical position at the top, and as you drop away from the top, either to the Calvinist corner or the Arminian corner, you're dropping away from the truth of the Scripture. And the unsaved person has to have the Holy Spirit move on their heart, open their eyes, and they taste of the heavenly gift because they become partakers of the Holy Ghost. They're not saved. They're just partakers. They're tasting of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. God moves in their heart. I really believe that when people pray for unsaved people, that's what happens, is the Holy Spirit opens the eyes and they become partakers of the Holy Ghost. They taste of the good word of God and the powers to come. Now it's their choice. Just like if you're looking in the refrigerator and you say, I wonder how old this milk is. Is it bad or not? And you think, well, it doesn't smell too bad. Let me take a little taste. It doesn't mean you're drinking it. You know, you take a little taste and you get it in your mouth and you swish it around and decide whether or not you want it or not. You say, oh, this, I don't want this, and you spit it out. And that's what happens, the unsaved person. They taste, and then they spit it out. Well, if they spit it out, how can they get saved? They cannot get saved if they're rejecting it. Hebrews chapter 10 has a similar passage where it talks about somebody who is sanctified, and sanctification is not the same as salvation. Sanctification, you know, the Bible says that, what's that?
Separated, set apart for...
Yeah, exactly. The Bible says that the unsaved man who has a believing wife is sanctified by that believing wife. He's not saved, he's sanctified because he's different. He's different from the guy over there whose wife is unsaved. He's set apart. There's a witness of Christ in his home. And when somebody sees the truth of the gospel, and Hebrews 10:26, and I'm going to make this quick because we're running out of time, says, for if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So if we see that, we know that that's the only means of salvation, and we reject it. How can you get saved? And so Hebrews chapter 6, like I was talking about, that's talking about somebody who's received the truth and rejected it. They didn't want it. And when you're rejecting the truth of God, you can't get saved. And
written to Hebrews.
Right. And we're out of time. Would have spent more, but a good question. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening today, and God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.